At the end of your morning teaching, you said, quote, return to the knowing, unquote. Please say more about this and how I can know I'm experiencing the knowing and not just the ego, I and me. How do you say, this is like such a central piece of the practice and what we're cultivating, and say what we're cultivating it for, that this quality of knowing clearly, is depicted in so many ways, just from the base of mindfulness, of that on that level of knowing, awareness, and one of the things that reflecting on the name. The word Buddha, in Thai in particular, the first translation that is usually used in terms of when one translates Buddha, it means the one who knows. So that's sort of the clue when the how central that is. Okay, the name of the Buddha, the one who knows, right? And this sort of knowing bit is really important. Then what should I know? How should I know? Where should I know? it gets into the doubt or the analyzing or the trying to figure it all out. And it's much more how do you rest in a quality of knowing that doesn't then drift off into the proliferating or the doubting or the trying to grasp it as sort of the one who knows, me, that's me, that's who I'll be, it's just a, because it's soon you can feel that sense of I. It's usually not very subtle. it reaches up from the abdomen and grabs you by the throat and it's just this. Here I am. So that, it's, but the knowing and relating it back to the just those say those qualities of that I talked about in the last question of the kusala citta, the that which accords with Dhamma, is that which is peaceful, is clear, is free from suffering, is not associated with the unskillfulness or unwholesomeness of within the mind, that knowing is more of a broad sort of sense of clarity. So I think that the measuring, how can I know I'm experiencing the knowing, is when there is that sense of ease and peacefulness and clarity and lack of agitation. Like sometimes the intrinsic, again, the intrinsic to say akusala citta, the unwholesome or unskillful states of mind. There's always a kind of an agitation there, so it's like that, again, that's a clue. Okay, there's when there's agitation or doubt, worry, then you say, okay, that's one recognizes that that's is an akusala citta and can be, which isn't a. I mean, it's interesting as well that, from a Buddhist perspective, that this isn't, say, like a. One isn't. One's trying to look at it in the way of its usefulness and that, not to be. Oh, I had an unwholesome mental state. I'm a bad person, or I had an unwholesome mental state. Therefore, I'm a hopeless meditator. But it's like the one rec because the say the in terms of causes and conditions, the unwholesome can be the cause for the wholesome. One recognizes, oh, that's unskillful. So that is a clue in order to direct attention to the skillful, to the peaceful. It's the nature of the mind to be revolving back and forth, so that and then one settles back into into that sense of knowing clearly, having a clear sense of, say, what is in accordance with Dhamma, then you even when there's an unwholesome mental state comes up, then you recognize that, you see that clearly, and then incline. Okay, then how do I work with it? How do I deal with it? How do I relinquish that? How do I let it go? And so it's a motivation to be say returning to that a base of increasingly clear and stable knowing. So it's I think that that's the say the theme that's getting drawn out in these last two questions around just recognizing the difference between these, say what is, say the kusala citta and the akusala citta.